going to share for maybe, 15 minutes or so, and then Joel's going to share for a little bit. I want to share on something that we don't really talk about that much. And I was reading it the other day, and I wanted to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But it's about giving. And I'm always hesitant to share on it because when I grew up, sometimes it was shared on a lot, and maybe out of a wrong motive because, you know, people wanted, you know, pastors or whoever wanted people to just give and give and give. And, you know, we go to these different revival meetings and it seemed to be more about giving and the tithes offering than it was about revival. And so it kind of got a sour taste in my mouth about that. Here, you know, none of us in leadership take any money for ourselves. We all have jobs that we work at. And so we can, you know, when people give here, we don't take it for ourselves. We, you know, we pay some bills and we give to the needy as the opportunities arise. But I wanted to read this in the NLT version from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Actually, 2 Corinthians, sorry. All right, so it says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Sorry, I'm reading the wrong version. I was wondering why it was sounding a little more complex. All right, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us or for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. So there's quite a bit of truth there and some principles we can learn about giving. First off, when in 1 Corinthians 16, we think about, okay, well, how often should we give or when should we give? And in 1 Corinthians 16, it says in verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So there, when they got together, because they were gathering, I guess, together there on the first day of the week, they were supposed to lay something aside and then give. So I see the principle there is just, you know, give regularly. Or lay something aside, at least so you have something. And the other thing is, give when there's a need. You know, when in James, if there's someone there who's, you know, a brother and doesn't have food, don't just say, be warm and well fed. Then you have something to give and to share when there's a need. Because we're supposed to not just love in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the example there is to give to the poor. Now, how much should we give? You know, in the Old Covenant, there's a lot of rules and regulations there. You know, that is very specific, about 10%. Plus, they had to give some things on top of that. So I've heard some estimates of probably 15%. Now in the New Testament, New Covenant, it's different. So do we say, okay, that's great. It's different. We don't have to give 10 or 15% now. Well, let's look at what the principles are. So in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. So we're supposed to give according to how we've prospered. Okay. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Okay, so we're supposed to give as we purpose in our heart. Not begrudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so we're supposed to give what we can give cheerfully. So what if we think, okay, that's great because I'm not very cheerful about giving, so that means I only have to give 1% or less than 1%. That's not the answer there. When it says, you know, if you want to be my disciple, he has to give all that he has. Right? All that he has. So let's look at the widow. When Jesus saw that widow in Luke 21, in verse 1, he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Two mites, just very small copper coins. He said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. You know, the principle there is, she put in all that she had. And I trust that she gave it cheerfully. But she knew that God would provide. You know, God was going to provide, because it does say when you give, it will be given back to you. That verse has been misinterpreted many times, and I grew up hearing that, saying, you know, give all and then you're going to be millionaires and so on. And that's not what it's saying. You know, when she gave her two mites, you can be sure that she had meals that day. She had meals the next and the next. The Lord provided. So, you know, if we're stingy in our giving, that shows, you know, where our heart is at. You know, you look at Cain and Abel. You know, why was Cain not accepted? Cain's offering is because that it was, the problem was with Cain and his heart. Not the offering. You know, he didn't offer the best. Right? He gave second best. And so the Lord wants us to give our best. You know, the first fruits. So, let's look here back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Couple other principles here. So in verse 12, whatever you give, give it eagerly. It is acceptable if you give it eagerly. So give eagerly. You know, it's good to be generous and to give eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. So what that means is don't go in debt to give. Okay? Give according to what you have. I mean, the widow went from, you know, 2 copper coins to none, and that was all that she had. But she didn't go in debt. And also, I would recommend don't give if you have a personal debt with somebody. You know, if say you borrowed money from a brother, you really needed it and you owed him $10,000, and he, you know, he wants his money back, but you're saying you don't have money to pay for it, and then you're giving, you know, you're putting your offering in and so on, and he sees that, he's going to be bitter. So I'm not talking about a mortgage or something where you have something for. You have, that's a bank. But if you have a personal debt with somebody, you should pay your debts before you start being generous and giving to somebody else. So give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. All right, so those Corinthians, it was like a year before, they were like eager to give. And then they stopped. And Paul was like, you know, the church in Macedonia? It's interesting what he says here, that they are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Even though they're very poor, you can be very poor and still have rich generosity according to giving to what you have. Here it says, and it's interesting, they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it out of their own free will. So they gave out of their own free will. So it's not by compulsion. It's a willingness, eagerly. And then it says that they even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So they didn't only just give their money, but they gave of themselves, their life, to the people. It's easy sometimes to just, okay, here's some money, and then go walk away and not actually be willing to give of your life to someone and your time. So those are just a few simple principles I wanted to share, some encouragement in naturally in giving. It's very important. And we don't want to be, and it's kind of a test. You know, when I think in Deuteronomy 14, or I didn't write it down, but there's a verse there. It says, it talks about, you know, why are they supposed to tithe and give and so on. And he says that you may show that you fear the Lord, basically. And so it's a test, you know, to see if you fear the Lord and you're going to put him first. And, you know, it talks about the love of money and not having a love for money, because you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. And so when we're giving, there's always a test, like, okay, well, you know, I could give here or I could store up for a difficult time. But we need to have faith and believe the Lord will provide. And part of that is, you know, when they gathered the manna, some gathered much and some gathered little, but no one had a lack, because those who gathered much shared with those who gathered little. And that's how it says, and Paul says that there might be equality. And so the same principle goes for us. Some have less and some have more. And you're not supposed to give so that there's a hardship. You know, he said, you know, don't make it so that you're just hard done by and then you make it easy for someone else and you're just suffering, but that everyone might have no lack. And so a few principles that I learned there in giving, and I thought it was good to go over it. We don't often talk about it. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and so let's continue to be cheerful.